Joining me live over the phone right now is Richard Weber and also Brent Bien. Of course, Brent, a former gubernatorial candidate for the state of Wyoming. And Richard has been helping organize this statewide effort on the Property Tax Ballot Initiative, officially called the People's Initiative to Limit Property Tax in Wyoming through a Homeowner's Property Exemption. And we have both of them on the air right now this morning to give us the details on this. Richard Weber, Brent Bien, good morning to both of you. How are you today?
Good morning,
hey, good morning, dude.
Hey, appreciate your time. Yeah, appreciate your time. Richard, let's start with you today. I know that you've been kind of spearheading this statewide movement. Tell us about this ballot initiative, if you could, for someone that's maybe hearing about this for the very first time. What is it?
Duke, the forefathers saw a time in the future when they wrote our Constitution that the legislature would be gridlocked either by the governor's veto or by their own inability to get a bill over the finish line. And so they created the People's Initiative, which gave us parity as people with the legislature to amend statute, create statute. And we took that as a blessing. We saw last year that the number one issue in the town halls we conducted was citizens' residential property taxes were out of control. People were having to make decisions between their electric bill or their taxes, whatever the situation. But anyway, legislature this year tried to get 23 bills through, and only a couple of them managed to get traction, but nothing significant happened. So we used the People's Initiative, which is our ability to create a bill, to exempt 50% of the residential taxes, not to be construed with all the property taxes. So residents would get a little bit of tax relief while the legislature worked on solving the broken tax system that we have in this state.
So if I'm understanding correctly, you have to reach a certain amount of signatures, and then this would be on the ballot of next year's election. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have to have 15% of however many voted in the last general election from each county. When you total that up, it's about 30,000 signatures. That gives the Secretary of State, that's his trigger to put it on the November 24 ballot. And then when Chuck Gray certifies the election, if we have a simple majority vote for the ballot initiative, it becomes law in 25. Our real hope is that this bill will buy some breathing room for the legislature to get significant legislation passed in this budget session, because if they do it, it takes effect immediately. But if it happens again like it did this year, where they don't get one over the finish line, ours will be the firewall to get our citizens needed tax relief until the legislature can resolve this issue.
Richard Weber on the air this morning talking about this property tax ballot initiative. Brent Bien is also joining us over the phone today. Brent, a former candidate for governor in Wyoming. Brent, let's loop you in and get your thoughts on this, and why are you supporting this effort?
Well, I tell you, Duke, to me, it's all about freedom. And, I've seen what's been going on here, all of us have, over the last several years, particularly since COVID. And we've seen property taxes just skyrocket, residential property tax. And, my whole campaign, everything we're doing now is about freedom. And private property rights is the absolute essence of this nation. And so, we're looking at this and our objective is to keep folks in their home. This is completely compulsory, and really just the two requirements to do this, to be eligible for this, is you have to be a resident of the state for 365 days, and you have to have lived in that primary residence for 6 months prior to the tax year. And as Rich alluded to, this will take effect in 2025. But we had three objectives primarily of this. And the number one is freedom. Again, it's private property rights. Number two is, to hold our legislature, all the legislators accountable, because they're all going to have to stake their claim on this one way or the other, and really hope, kind of nudge them, kind of push them into actually doing something this next legislative session during the budget session. And then finally, to show folks, hey, look, we have this process, as Rich explained, of a ballot initiative, and just to stand up and you know, we all and find that inner courage to fight for the liberty that we have, you know, the liberty that God and only God gave us, not legislators and not government. So that's what we're doing here. And you know, I still have an obligation, I feel, you know, to do what we, one of the things we campaigned on, which was reduce residential property tax, you know, for all the folks out there, whether they supported me or not. It's just one of those things that we're doing, and we can do it in this state, and we're going forward with it.
Brent, you mentioned the legislators and kind of where they stand on this. I understand it's been a pretty mixed bag. I've had some of our local lawmakers on that have spoken in favor of this initiative, but I know there's been some around the state that are pretty upset about it. Talk to that and what the response from the lawmakers have been on this, and what kind of your takeaway is.
Well, you know, they have. And you know, I think we're hearing a lot of misinformation out there. You know, Wyoming, we do not have a revenue problem. I mean, we have got so much money flowing into this state, but we do have is a spending problem. And a lot of these legislators are the ones that are coming out against or opposed to it. You know, it seems that they're not. They have no desire, no will to make the cuts that need to be made. And they need to figure out what are essential, non-essential services and go from there, get rid of all these pet projects. And, you know, a lot of people and a lot of folks out there realize this, but, you know, we have not had a complete wall-to-wall budgetary audit in this state since roughly about 1989. So, you know, we don't even know how much money it really costs to run this state. And, you know, we see all these, you know, as you go through the budget session and each time the legislature meets, you know, you kind of go through and figure out, okay, where's all this money being apportioned? And we're seeing a lot of waste out there. So the thing is with this is, yeah, maybe a 50% reduction on residential property tax for the homeowner, but it's maybe 10, maybe 12% at most per county reduction. And that's it. So, you know, again, there's a lot of these numbers that these you know, the opposition is throwing out there that, you know, this is really gonna hurt us. But in reality, it's not, you know, and hopefully it forces some of these local, you know, all the way from the local level, you know, the commissioners all the way up to the legislators to really sit there and take a look at what we need to be funding. And again, you know, we have this $27 billion permanent mineral trust fund. It's kind of our stabilization fund. And last year, you know, the legislature put out a $1.8 billion supplemental budget. And of that, $1.3 billion went into the permanent mineral trust fund. And it's, you know, so I look at this and, you know, if it's all about the schools, if it's all about, you know, all these other things that the opposition believes are essential, why in the world did we put that $1.3 billion in our stabilization fund? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So there again, this is, you know, for us, this is all about freedom. It's all about, you know, keeping people in their homes. We should never, you know, people should never be forced from their homes because they can't pay their property tax. You know. So that's what we're doing here.
Richard, let's bring you back in this conversation. Rich Weber also with us. You mentioned the kind of goal was roughly 30,000 signatures statewide, depending on how the counties and voting percentages and everything. But give us an update on where you currently stand with the number of signatures as of today.
We're 2 weeks into this, and we're right between 20 and 25% of the signatures that we need for the ballot.
And when is the deadline to hit that target date, target number?
Well, the statute says we have 18 months. It's supposed to go on the first ballot after the legislature has adjourned. And so our target date, we'd like to get it done by the 1st of February, and then we can give it to the Secretary of State. He has 60 days to count the signatures and verify that they're all registered voters. And then he'll have plenty of time to get it onto the ballot. So a little bit of flexibility there. We're not on a rigid schedule.
Richard, talk more about it being a ballot initiative, because this isn't just your typical signature campaign where you go door to door and just try and collect a number of signatures. This is a little more than that. Tell us more again and speak to it being a ballot initiative and what that means.
A ballot initiative is a bill, just like a bill that comes through the legislature, but it's written by the people to enact legislation we cannot amend the Constitution, but the legislation that we're talking about can create or amend or delete statutes. And our target was the assessed value of the taxes. When you assess the property of residential taxes, our target was to change that formula, modify it by exempting 50%. And the ballot initiative is limited to a single subject, so we couldn't get into acquisition value and things like that, which we'd really like to do, like California. But those are hundreds of pages of changes and things, and there's a big debate over, you know, when is acquisition value, 1929 or 2023, and who's going to pay their fair share, and so forth and so on. But the ballot initiative itself is very simple. The people go out, they get the sponsors, the 100 sponsors, then if they get that, they go out, they get the requisite amount of signatures on the petition. The petition goes, places the bill on the ballot, and people vote on it with simple majority. It becomes law. It bypasses the legislature. It's veto-proof. It bypasses the governor's office, does not need his signature either. And so that's the difference between our bill and the legislator's bill. No amendments, no signatures, no vetoes, you know, from the legislature or the governor's office. Everything in Wyoming requires, even a ballot initiative that the legislature has out right now to separate residential property tax from the other property taxes, requires the citizen to get involved. The constitutional amendment they have has to have a two-thirds majority in the House, two-thirds majority in the Senate, has to have the governor's signature, and it still has to go to the people and go on the 24 ballot. And the people have to vote on it in order to get that amendment over the finish line. So the people always have a say. But in statute, you know, we don't need the legislature or the governor. The people are empowered to do that.
Richard Weber and Brent Bien this morning discussing the People's Initiative to limit property tax in Wyoming through a homeowner's property exemption. And this would cut the residential property tax by 50%. Thank you both for your time. Rich, tell us where people can go to find this initiative and if they choose to put a signature on it.
Yeah, sure will. www.wyomingballotinitiatives.com is the URL for our website.
Perfect. Say that
we have
once.
A Facebook.
Oh, go ahead.
We have a Facebook page for discussion and information, which is Wyoming Voter Initiatives.
Perfect. Richard Weber and Brent Bien this morning. Brent, anything in conclusion you'd like to mention today?
You know, I tell you, it's really been a privilege to do this. And you know, we are the advocate for the folks, you know, out there, for all the people in this great state. And we're looking forward to getting this on the ballot. You know, as Rich said, you know, this is veto proof. The legislature can't touch this, you know, for 2 years after becoming law. So, you know, and this, we're hoping this is the legislature can't get anything done, that this is the backstop for them. And we just want people to know that, hey, look, there is help on the way. And, you know, it's just a matter of getting everybody out there energized, signing this thing, getting it on the ballot, and then voting for it. And to sign it, somebody, you know, every person who signs it has to be a registered Wyoming voter. So if they didn't vote in the last election, then they have to re-register to sign it. So we're looking forward to it. You know, it's a great state, phenomenal people around the state. And we're here as their advocates. And it's our initiative. It's all of our initiatives. So we're looking forward to it.
Richard Weber.
Hey,
Brent, yeah, go ahead.
Could I make one more? I'd like to tell you, a county commissioner was one of the naysayers the other night at a town hall, and we had a woman that said, push back, and she's the county commissioner said, oh, you're going to lose all these services and fire trucks and snow plows and graders and so forth. And she looked at the county commissioner and she says, well, if I have to make a choice between losing my home or losing the snow plows and the police car, she says, I'll choose my home, because municipal ordinance says I can't sleep in a police car or a fire truck.
Yeah, that's the way to look at it. Absolutely. Thank you both so much. Richard Weber, Brent Bien this morning, and it's all part of the Weekday Wake Up. Thank you so much both for your time.